Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings, greetings and blessings, blessed souls. We're alive because we want to stay alive. In Torat Chaim, instructions of life, Torat Ches, instructions of kindness, Torat Rachmim, instructions of mercies. This is now the 293rd class of Soul Class. Today's program, tutorial, whatever you want to call it. I hope you'll call it the next 30 minutes approximately of radio, live radio, which will be edifying for soul, spirit, mind, and body. And we want to continue to vibe out on teachings in Torah prophecy, as written in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, quote, "And the glory of the Creator shall be revealed, and all flesh together shall see that the mouth of the Creator has spoken," end of quote. As well, we hope to continue further discussions about the leprosy that was incurred by the prophetess Miriam, sister of Moses, Moshe, the mighty Levite prophet, and we're now live, and you can also listen in by calling in at 1-347-838-8669 if you're about to go out into the world, or you're going to stay in the world where you are, where you're in front of a computer. You can also access the show by the BlackBerry iPod and Strawberry. One day, perhaps in the days of Mashiach, the Messiah, we will be able to access programs like this and all forms of positive communication with wireless technology via those things which are in fact what would seem to be the least likely means of communicating consciousness. We started the show with a song, Techiyat HaMesim, which literally means Resurrection of the Dead, from the Pia Menta album, Tafshinon Teheshnas Nisim, which was a song and part of a CD that was produced by the Pia Mentas 23 years ago, and it was an important CD in my life as I was preparing for the eventual wedding of my wife, Maras Sima Simcha. And Baruch Hashem, we're still married. I'm happy to report to all you blessed souls. And also, how could we not mention a call out for blessings and mercies upon the inhabitants of Oklahoma, and particularly the town that was ravaged. Someone showed me a photograph the other day of the horrendous damage that was done. It looked like something out of Hiroshima, Nagasaki. So we're going to read as an expression of our reaching out to the blessed souls out in Oklahoma and those who have passed on to the next level of life, and with hopefully with a great urgency that they shall merit to resurrect at the time of the great resurrection, time of the great judgment day, which will be a great day of glory for those who seek the righteousness of the Most High. So we want to read very quickly chapter 20 in Psalms by the sweet singer of Israel, Naam Zmirot Yisrael, King David. For the conductor, a psalm which was composed by David. May the Creator answer you on the day of distress. May the name of the Creator, or the God of Jacob, Yaakov, fortify you. May He send you help from the sanctuary and support you from Zion, Zion. Etan Hanashama, soul essence. May He remember all your offerings and always accept favorably your sacrifices. May He grant you your heart's desires and fulfill your every counsel. We will rejoice in your deliverance, Oklahoma. We will rejoice in your deliverance, all blessed souls seeking to connect in a very tangible manner with the Creator and be in fellowship with all human beings. We shall rejoice in your deliverance and wave our banners in the name of our Creator. May the Lord, the Creator, Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite Creator, may be blessed to fulfill all your wishes. Now I know that the Creator has delivered his anointed one, answering him from his holy heavens with the mighty saving power of his right hand. Some rely upon chariots and some upon horses, but we rely upon and invoke the name of the Creator, our Lord. They bend and fall, but we rise and stand firm. Lord, deliver us. May the King answer us on the day we call. Adonai Hoshia HaMelech Yanenu Vayom Korenu. Also, I want to mention that last week I got a comment by a good Facebook friend, Cindy Greenstein Vaughn from Denver, Colorado. Not John Denver, Colorado, but Denver, Colorado. And she mentioned the way I gave her the last show regarding the leprosy of Miriam, the righteous sister of Moses, the oldest of three siblings, her Moshe, Moses, and Aaron, that she wasn't sure exactly the point I was communicating, why that Miriam got a rectification to Tsaras leprosy. So we're going to try to review some of those points and then hopefully conclude the show with me plucking generously, as I am prone to do. Those of you who know me by now, by our humble efforts here, that I like to pluck generously from Hasidic teachings and all over the Torah, where authentic Torah teachings are available to myself and also for you blessed souls by me hopefully being successful in sharing these concepts with you. So I hope to go back to recapitulate that, and hopefully, Cindy, this will be a little clearer for you, or a little clearer in my efforts to explain according to the Torah, in Torah Savora, the reasonings of the Torah, why Miriam incurred the penalty of Saras, the rectification. Also, for those who want to be synchronized in some form of unity with the nation of Israel all around the world this coming Shabbat, Bezer Hashem, which is now in less than 72 hours, we will be reading from Parshas Bahaloscha, which is in the book of Numbers, chapter 8, verse 1 to chapter 12, verse 16, which will include, in fact, the incident of Miriam, Tzedeket, the righteous Miriam, why she incurred the rectification of, in fact, Tsaras, leprosy. And we'll also be reading from the Haftorah, from the prophet Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 14, and concluding in chapter 4, 7, in the Navi Zechariah. Blessed souls, let's go into right now, gradual maturity is afforded all who seek to connect to the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, the infinite Creator, may be blessed. With gradual maturity, in fact, comes the realization one must be increasingly diligent when focusing one's intent on adhering to standards/principles of conduct which should empower one no matter where one is, no matter where we are in this world, blessed souls, whoever we're talking to, and no matter what the subject matter of discussion is taking place between ourselves and other blessed souls. As well, when we engage in these discussions with other blessed souls, we should be wary of imposing stringencies on another human being. Now, that human being may either be biologically, chronologically young, or even spiritually young, meaning they need to mature a little bit, like the rest, all of us do, need to constantly not just grow in a biological, chronological sense, but also in a spiritual sense. Because if we are too stringent in presenting consciousness with other people, this can in fact cause that other human being we are vibing out with to feel overly contained. And within that person's consciousness at that particular existential point in time, it can cause them to actually conjure up within their own blessed-minded hearts a sense of spiritual suffocation, or even a feeling of being oppressed by our consciousness, and therefore feeling excluded from their inner subconscious, superconscious desire, as it's configured to their Tzelem Elohim, their divine image, to grow in truth. So even when initial efforts are catapulted by whatever efforts we make or projected outwardly to a new receiver, a Makabel Chadash, a young human being, as we just mentioned, whether biologically or spiritually, chronologically, this new student receiver may reject the very consciousness we wish to share with others, with the intent to empower other people on their life's journeys. And we humbly assert that all of us are on a journey towards universal redemption. Some will, hopefully all will accept the concept eventually and internalize the implications of universal redemption. And yet still I think there are some people from my interactions with whatever nation of the earth they are from, there's still some rejection of that idea of truly universal redemption. But as we all move one day closer, by the hour, the minute, and second, it is in our favor, merit, and blessing to encourage growth via learning Torah in a manner the knowledge that we are trying to help others access, to become aware of, is not only for the satisfaction of the mind, or even delight of the mind, but rather the Torah we seek to share with other human beings is instruction to empower natural development within the context of this natural world, the Olam HaTV, that the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, that the Infinite Creator has provided for us. So when we encounter such a teaching as the affliction of Tzaras, leprosy, again, not to be confused with the modern forms of leprosy, and may the Most High spare all of us from such a modern affliction. As far as I know, unless someone can make it aware to me via email, which is donzudgoodman6@gmail.com, or via posting on the comment section of this radio show, which is posted on my wall in Facebook, under Don Zusio Goodman, or commenting on the comment section in Blessed Blog Talk Radio. When we encounter such a, in terms of if there is a modern cure for tzaras, that is leprosy, when we're talking about the tzaras as portrayed in the Torah, instructed us in the Torah, when we try to work out why was the Miriam a righteous woman, she was a prophetess, she was a Neviyah, a certain stricture, a certain higher standard was applicable to her uniquely, despite the fact that she had unending merits, zchuyot nitzchiim, until this day, because she was involved with her righteous mother Yocheved in saving so many young Israelite baby boys whose fate, if it was left in those times directly into the hands of the oppressive Pharaoh and his subjects of Egypt, or nation of Egypt, the Egyptians' nation, they would have been killed instantly at the time a decree was brought down that any male Israelite, Hebrew Israelite boy that was born at that time would be taken by Egyptian law enforcement officials or soldiers, militias, whatever you want to call them, seizing the young male child due to Pharaoh's astrologers perceiving the Redeemer of Israel, named Moshe, had been born and eventually would lead the 12 tribes of Israel out of bondage and destroy the Egyptian nation. Now Miriam and her righteous mother Yocheved, as we just mentioned before, did not report to the Egyptian officials of the birth and of the young males particularly. Now certainly Miriam and her mother did not report because they had faith in the Most High. And especially when it came to the birth of her younger brother, the third of three children born out by Yocheved, as you can learn more about in the book of Exodus. In fact, Miriam had observed at the tender age of 5 years old, after the birth of her brother, she would actually be watching him and watched him for a period of time after her mother had placed him by the waters of Egypt, and would be picked up. And again, you can learn about this in the Chumash, in the book of Exodus, second book of the five books. She was watching and observing that the daughter of Paro had taken the baby into her arms. And after Moshe Moses would not suckle from the nursemaids of Egypt, she actually intervened on behalf of her brother and suggested, imagine a five-year-old going up to a daughter of the most powerful man on earth and suggesting that there is a Israelite handmaid who would be able to nurture this child, not revealing that Moses was the son of Yocheved, and not Yocheved wasn't the mother of Moses. So 80 plus years later, blessed souls, in the context of this story, the emerging of the nation of Israel as a nation already formed, but to be going out freely, Miriam would witness her baby brother now grow up to be the Goel Rishon, the first Redeemer of Israel, who would serve as a catalyst, so to speak, human lightning rod, so to speak, to prophetically warn Paro of the plagues awaiting him and his people if they did not set Israel free from Egypt. Miriam witnessed the splitting of the Red Sea, the provision of water, and the manna, the man that bread from heaven, via the hands of her brother. She also witnessed his receiving the Torah from the Ein Sof Baruch Hu with the other millions of Israelites present at Har Sinai, 3,325 plus years now, because last week was the celebration, the 3,325th time that we received the Torah. So she witnessed all this. And not only that, she witnessed her brother, her baby brother, teaching Torah to millions of human beings. As well, she was aware of the fact that her brother was charged with the responsibility of trying to eventually educate Kol Boi Olam, all the inhabitants of the world, about their obligations, as the Most High commanded them, to remind the Bnei Noach, the blessed children of Noah, of their seven Noahide commandments. Yet still, Miriam, at her high pristine level of Kedush, of holiness and dedication and service of the Most High, fell into a mistaken notion that he, as a prophet, was like her, because she was a prophetess. And her other younger brother, Aaron, who was the high priest of Israel, the Kohen Gadol, was also a prophet. She fell into a slight contraction of consciousness, even though her concerns were for the best concerns of her brother and her sister-in-law. When in reality, the Most High, in his ultimate wisdom, felt that it should be made known to her and for all of us 3,325 years later, blessed souls, to realize that Moshe Moses separating from his wife Tzipporah was not a decision again of Moshe to be super religious, but rather a continual charge, an obligation placed upon him based on what the Most High instructed him, that he should be standing in front of the Most High in a state of purity, intellectual, spiritual, and physical. And this was indicated by what is mentioned in Numbers chapter 12, verse 8, as the Most High informed Miriam and Aaron, and now the rest of us for all time, as written in the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verse 8, quote, mouth to mouth do I speak to him in a clear vision and not via riddles. At the image of the Creator does he gaze. Why do you not fear to speak against my servant Moses, Moshe? Now, blessed souls, concerning a less righteous person, we can assume that such an incident would not have occurred. For the average sojourner or soul journeying human being within the Israelite camp of 3,300 plus years ago was not privy to that initial conversation between the First Lady of Israel, Tzipora, Moses' wife, and the sister of the leader of Israel, Goel Rishon, Moses, Miriam. This was a private conversation which took place between the wife of Moses and the sister of Moses, because Tzipora had lamented when she had heard that two younger men were prophesying in the camp of Israel, that she had lamented that, another two women will be deprived the right of being with her husband, just as I am not with my husband anymore. And it wasn't a matter of marital problems or so between Moses and Tzipora. It is a testimony to the dedication, the self-sacrifice, as we call in Hebrew, the Mesiras Nefesh of Moses, to separate and to follow completely the charge of the Most High. So Miriam, according to her level of tzitzkus, of righteousness, was she so quickly judged by the Creator? As hopefully, Bezer Hashem, with the help of the Most High, as we go into the teachings of what constitutes tzaras. I won't go into it totally because I don't have the total knowledge, but just as a way of helping to accustom you, blessed souls, to understand what is this concept of tzaras. Because anyone who thinks that just because it doesn't apply today, the modern, the ancient Torah instruction about tzaras, which was basically incurred upon a person for speaking lashon hara, evil speech about another person, there still is an instruction that we can learn today to better our conduct. Again, the idea of learning Torah to improve our conducts of human beings, being totally in configuration with our tzelem Elohim. With that being said, according to her righteousness, Miriam's righteousness, was she so quickly judged by the Creator to serve for all future generations according to the quality of her righteousness and her personal sense of higher level of accountability? And that applies to each one of us, but based upon our consciousness, are we held accountable according to our actions of the past and the most existential present? Are we taken into account on how we will be rectified, purified? And of course, in the same process of being purified and rectified, we become humbled, which is not a negative thing. It's to reconfigure our sense of being in the Derech HaMsoi, in the middle path, which Rambam in Hilchos Deos, and also in his Shmona Prokim, in his Laws of Human Conduct, and in his teachings about the working, the mechanics of the soul, and the mechanics of healthy human body living in connection to the human soul, this is how we should go, in the middle path. And then hopefully, by this process of ourselves being humbled, we can hopefully educate, as per the divine opportunity to do so, to speak to others about the severity of speaking improperly, especially about the most righteous souls within creation. And I myself, as I have to mention, I once personally recall reading about a very unfortunate matter that transpired in the late 20th century, where a extremely righteous soul, a tzaddik in our generation, Dorenu, was slandered by a jealous, egotistical, righteous-in-his-own-eyes person. And that person, after condemning this most righteous of people of the generation, tzaddik, tzaddik yisod olam, a tzaddik is one of the foundations of the earth on the human experiential level. That person who had slandered one of the most righteous people, or some would say even the most righteous person of the generation, that person was then became publicly condemned by his peers. His family was condemning of him. His soulmate asked for a divorce, which he refused. And rabbinical leaders in his life time, and I'm sure if this person is even still alive, put him actually into a form of spiritual excommunication, which is really done today, and it's a very severe move for someone whose actions are so severely negative that the only way to correct that person, I personally do not have that ability, and I wouldn't want to have that responsibility to put anyone in excommunication. That person was put in a form of excommunication according to Torah teachings written in oral Torah traditions. And that person's life had once been one of comfort and economic security, devolved into a life of scorn, misery, and misfortune. For the wise, what I have said is sufficient, with no further need for elaboration. With that being said, blessed souls, we want to now return to the essence of this particular tutorial series, namely regarding concepts connected to prophecy from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 5, which we quoted at the beginning of the show, namely that all flesh shall soon witness prophetically revelations, which are the ultimate revelation, the true ultimate universal redemption is the revolution, blessed souls, which will be televised, which will be on YouTube, which will be all over the place, because the mayonos will be, the wellsprings of redemption shall spread to every nook and cranny, every molecule of this planet Earth, and hopefully to penetrate every human heart within the human family experience, to experience the Creator so totally in such a manner that we'll all realize, and it will not only be intellectually acceptable, spiritually acceptable, emotionally acceptable, but it will transpire into our day-to-day conduct, whether we're involved in the holiest of matters and the most mundane of matters. That divine speech of the Ein Sof Baruch Hu, that the Dibur HaElyon of the Infinite Creator may be blessed, is pertinent and will become the ultimate pertinence in our lifetimes, becoming aware of the source as well of the Nefesh Elokit, the divine soul, which, as presented in plucking from the teaching of the Lubavitcher Rebbe from 5722, 1962, 51 years ago, was discussed tersely in the vision, the Nevuah, Chizayon, of Cheskel and Navi Ezekiel in chapter 1, verse 26. Pertinent as well is that the source of the animal soul of human beings, the Nefesh Bahamit, Nefesh Bahamis, and all forms of animal life, Habali Chaim, are rooted in the vision of the four faces upon the divine chariot, which are mentioned in the book of Ezekiel that we've discussed in previous programs, tutorials. And although the visions of Ezekiel are of forms we recognize, blessed souls, let us remind ourselves, souls, neshamot, nefashot, whether animal or our own blessed souls, are completely spiritual in their essence, which chain down via divine cause and effect, seder ishtalshlut, various types of cause and effect scenarios, each scenario according to each and every living creature. And that includes we as human beings. But, and here's the caveat, and here comes the paradoxical punchline, the bodies of physical creations, including our blessed human bodies, are not revealed within this blessed creation via cause and effect scenarios according to the design of the Creator. For even if we were to conjure up tens of thousands of cause and effect scenarios, even in our most highest elated forms, elevated forms of consciousness, we would be left with no smoke, no fire, just the humble and hopefully happily realization physicality is actually manifested from a higher realm within the divine paradigm of how out of divine nothingness, Ayin Eloki, is the revelation of all forms of physical substance. Now this teaching as well is rooted within a teaching that is brought out by Ramban, Nachmanides, not Ramban, but Ramban, in his elucidation, Mitzvah Ruach HaKodesh, Divine Inspiration, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, where he discusses the matter of called Chomer HaRishon, the first substance, ethereal materiality, which is in a prepotential state. The ancient Greeks, the Ramban quotes, says that via their deductive talents of those days, called it Hayuli. Chassidus is very prone to use this term, Koach Hayuli, that the prepotentiality of the first substance, it's also regarded to as Toh, a type of chaotic consciousness, which has a certain voidness, a certain emptiness to it, until It is infused with the Orin Sof, with the Creator's light, which is infinite, to give it direction. Inner dimensions of Torah, which are also called Chakira, which is like sort of speculative type of reasonings from several hundred years ago, and also from within the inner dimensions of Torah, Chassidus emphasize the creation of physical reality from untouchable, untastable, unsmellable, unseeable, unhearable. Spirituality is ample testimony. Physicality is revealed ultimately via the divine paradigm of Yesh Ma'ayin, the manifestation of materiality, physicality, substance that we can taste, touch, and feel, hear, and see, is coming from the Ayin Elokei, the sense of divine nothingness, meaning the shorish, the root for this divine paradigm is that it arose within the Actus HaPashut, the uncompounded divine will, the Ratzon HaPashut, within the Creator to create entities living, and that therefore they should be living in a form of physicality, and they should be allowed to be living in this world created in a sustainable fashion from a quality of Elokut, godliness, divinity, which is called Or Ein Sof, Hasov Kol Almin, the light of the infinite Creator, which is encompasses all forms of creation. This type of Or Ein Sof, which is Hasov Kol Almin, blessed souls, is a dimension of the Elokut divinity, where the same level of non-recognition of our source that we can understand as human beings is no different in terms of our lack of total consciousness of this all-encompassing godliness as, say, of like a little bug, a one-celled amoeba, a blue whale swimming somewhere deep out in the depths of the blue ocean, or a chicken which wakes us up, or a rooster that wakes us up in the morning, those of us who are living on farmland. It's just way beyond all of our perception, yet we are the ultimate manifestation is coming from consciousness beyond ourselves. Now, with that being said, blessed souls, so how does it come into our consciousness that there's something beyond our consciousness? Well, since we're physical beings living in a physical world, I know there was a song several years ago by Sting of the Police, Spirits in the Material World. Well, that may be true, but our material world is coming from a level higher than our spirituality. With that being said, blessed souls, the dimension of creation coming from his Havus Yesh Ma'ayin, creating a physicality, the sense of divine nothingness, because the Most High is not bound by any rules of nature. He created the rules of nature. If he wants, he can break the rules of nature. If he wants, he can elevate the laws or rules of nature. He can elevate us. We just have to make us a vessel to be included in his plan. At the same time, too, paradoxically, if you want to look at it that way, we have the freedom of choice to reject elevated consciousness, elevated awareness. We can embrace it. Now, the Or, which is, so to speak, projected into this creation, replicates its source, called the Meor, the source of illumination. At the same time, too, the Or, the light of the Creator, the consciousness, which is divine, is because it came, again, it arose up in his will in a manner that nothing caused his will in the way that we are caused if someone pushes you or shakes your hand. There's the warming of the flesh by the embrace of one hand and the other. There's the vibrations of hand to hand. If one puts one's fingers on the person's the veins, area of the wrist, you'll feel the pulse. There's no pulse which causes the Creator. He is the source of all pulse. He is the force of all being. And he is the only one who has the power to manifest physicality, creation, abriya shalanu, in a way that is absolutely coming from nothingness, which is rooted within his divine will. Now, King David testified in Psalms chapter 104, verse 24, Kulam b'chachma sisa, kulam b'chachma sita. You have made everything with wisdom. Why does everything have to be made with wisdom? because again, it arose up in the divine, uncomplicated will of the Creator, according to the teachings of the inner dimensions of Torah, that this is the beginning of the manifestation of divine symmetry that will be used as a conduit for manifesting physical reality, known as the Eser Sfirot, the 10 conduits, I like to call them. I've seen the translation as the Fiats, F-I-A-T-S, not to be confused with that car made in Europe. Maybe it's made in America now, I don't know, but the 10 Sfirot, which are means of bringing symmetry into the creation until we see that by way of those 10 Sfirot, those 10 Fiats, there can become a multiplicity and a distinctiveness to all the various types of blessed creations in this world. And by way of this, the emergence, the revelation of Chochmah, wisdom, divine wisdom, which now is sort of a conduit, the Most High in His ultimate will has decided that's how He will, not that He has to, but that's the way it will manifest through wisdom, the action of manifesting physicality. The Ratzon Elyon, the divine will, is really the force behind the manifestation of physicality, again, from Yesh Ma'ayin, from physicality stemming rooted in divine nothingness, and not in the way of cause and effect relationships. It's way beyond that. So there we see, blessed souls, that that spirituality, something I didn't mention before, is actually the souls of the creation are actually rooted, as alluded to in that divine chariot in Ezekiel, in chapter 1 of the book of Ezekiel, Sefer Yecheskel, Navi Yecheskel, that spirituality, matters of the soul, are actually rooted in what is called Or Ein Sof Mamalika Amin, the light of the Creator, which is endless, of the infinite Creator, which fills all the worlds according to the vessel. So the nefesh of a human being is contoured to the needs of the human body, just as the nefesh, the soul of a raccoon, is tailored to the needs of the physicality and existence of a raccoon upon this blessed earth. So we want to share with you, blessed souls, that the root of the soul, the root, the shor shaguf, the root of the body is actually higher than the root of the soul. Again, the root of the soul, the shorish and nefesh of all created beings, in a way of, yes, cause and effect relationships, but the root, again, of the body of all created beings does not come in the way of cause and effect, but rather a physicality of the physical body is coming from this level called Selvika Omin, an encompassing consciousness ultimately rooted within the will of the Creator, which is uncompounded, not caused by anything else. With that being said, that we see in physicality, there's something which is very interesting to note, and we're glad that we get to observe it, that the body changes from smallness to greatness. It expands. It grows, and hopefully it doesn't expand horizontally. Let's not try not to get overweight, blessed souls. It's not good for us. So the human life experience, as we understand it, of growing from smallness to largeness, or growing, is not in and itself, or in eschadshus of Yesh Ma'ayin. No. There is a level within the human body experience which is privy to accessing a certain soul power called Nefesh Atzomechet. There's a power within the soul to cause a sprouting growth within the human body, and this is actually connected to a quality called Mazal Shabarakia, the constellation in the firmaments. In fact, it's brought down from the sages of Israel in Bereshis Rabbah, that no grass on earth will grow unless its mazel, its constellation, its source in spirituality causes, or ultimately its source in the physicality, in its physical growth, I should say, let's be, its source in its growth physically, it will not grow unless it is struck by that mazel, by that constellation, spiritual constellation in the creation, blessed creation, that says to it, grow. That the growth of the body is coming from Mamalik HaOlmin, the light that fills all the worlds. But rather that we should understand that the actual manifestation of the physicality of the body is coming from Yesh Ma'ayin, from that quality called Selvika Omin, the light that encompasses all forms of consciousness. We can never truly be consciousness of it. We're only aware of it because the prophets and mystics and people well immersed in purifying their minds and their bodies and their animal souls have accessed these teachings going all the way back to the original first redeemer, Moses, Moshe, the mighty Levite prophet. Now, I'm sure this presentation might leave some of you in a little bit of actually spiritual disarray, but again, there's no obligation for you to agree or disagree, but rather I encourage you, blessed souls, to learn more about this. What is the idea of the light that fills all the worlds based on the vessel? What is the concept of the light that encompasses all the worlds based on ultimately being rooted in the simple, uncomplicated will of the Creator, which is not caused by any other factor, cause of the factor, but rather that He wants it, that when the body is manifested, then it becomes under the regency, the guidance of Mamalika Omen, the light that fills all the worlds, because the body proceeds in a procession, hopefully from growing from smallness to greatness. I just saw something, or I heard actually something from a Dr. Joel Furman yesterday, well-known doctor here in the United States, that the relating to the idea of Mamalika Omen, the light that fills all the worlds, you can understand this maybe hopefully better allegorically, that when we involve ourselves in working with our muscle mass, through exercising, some strenuous work, it sends an electrical message, or maybe, I don't know, he didn't say electrochemical, but I'll suggest electrochemical message, to the bone that says grow. So when we increase muscle mass, we're causing our bone mass also to grow. When we make the vessel the kli, we shall see, blessed souls, more manifestation of this elokus, which is Mamalika Omin, the light that fills all the worlds. We're going to end now succinctly, blessed souls, that I hope today will be a day of healing for the people of Oklahoma and this country and all countries in the world. And hopefully this will lead to in pursuit of happiness by all of us, Badarki Shalom, in a peaceful way, Badarki Shalom, in a pleasant way. We're going to actually end the show right now, blessed souls, in pursuit of happiness by Blessed Brother David Dome. Will help us get back home to realize the divine image. Will help us get in scrimmage in the field of life, the Tzelem Elokim. Divine image is no dream. This is Don Dos Yigubin signing off, wishing everyone ahava chad, one love, gurul chad, one destiny, kulano, bedarchi shom, darchi noam, in a peaceful and pleasant way. Lahamshik, to be continued, be'ezer Hashem, with the help of the Most High, Yisparech, may be blessed. Take care, everyone. Healings, 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 and remember, you're good because the Creator is good. Hateva tov leheitiv, it's the nature of the good to do good. I know you can do some good today. Take care, everyone. Make the right choice.
make that your goal.
It's just with you.